I was thinking this morning about something that Opal read during her lifetime, a little incident about a Russian girl. She was on her way to an underground meeting. That's the way they have to do it there. They can't meet like we do here. They have to hide out and hold her meetings in secret. And she was on the way to this meeting, and one of the secret police stopped her, asked her where she was going, and she knew that if she told them where she was going, there would be a raid on the place that night, and they would be beaten and battered and arrested and cause lots of trouble. And she just looked to the Lord for an answer. The Lord gave her one. It was a good one. She said, "My oldest brother died." He said, "The family's getting together over here tonight to see what he left us." So the police let her go. Well, I would like to see you and me a little more concerned about seeing what he left us. Our oldest brother died. That was Jesus. That's what the girl was talking about too. And I would like to see us a little more concerned about seeing what he left us. I read a little line in an advertisement the other day that was kind of striking to me. It says, "God has more miracles than we have needs." I believe that'd be good for us to meditate on. The Lord's left us many things, and among them, we have a little text that carries the thought in the 10th chapter of John, in the 10th verse. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, real abundant living, Christ provided that for us. He left us that. And we should be searching into that. Ways and means to attain to real abundant living. Not just living, but living abundantly. Not just having grace, but abundance of grace. Now, God has victory for every child he has. They have a version out of the New Testament. The title of it is "Good News for Modern Man." Well, the good news for modern man up to date, right now, and in our situations and in the time in which we're living, is that God has victory for every child he has. For every one of us. And he has a kind of victory for us that people doesn't have to pat us on the back and carry us high for us to have victory. But we can have victory if they spit in our face, if they curse us, whatever they do to us, we can still have victory. And it's important that we get that kind of victory, because we don't know what anybody's going to do to us anytime, or how they're going to treat us. So it's just important that we get that kind of victory in our souls. Now, we don't want to be like the fella. Somebody had mistreated him, and They had abused him and spoken evil against him. And all he was telling about it, and he was just pretty elated that he hadn't retaliated or anything. He said, I just laid down and took it. But said, I was standing up on the inside. Well, that fella didn't have all that victory what he thought he had, did he? God has victory for you and me to help us to lay down on the inside, too. Just like we do on the outside. And to help us to feel right while we're being abused. While we're being imposed upon. To keep the right kind of attitude and the right kind of feeling. And when it's all over, go right back and show kindness and assistance and help to that fellow that did that to us. Real victory, abundant living. Some of us can kind of behave ourselves. Some people have enough self-control for that. I worked for a man and worked in the office with him about 9 years. And I was with him in there day after day for all that time. And I never did learn to tell when that man was angry. He could just hold it. He could behave himself. Fellas coming out of office and really work him over sometimes, verbally. And I'd sit there and watch and listen, and I'd say, that fella Stout's liable to get up from here and toss him down the stairs pretty soon. But he'd sit there with his feet up on his desk and his puff his pipe and just talk as calm and quiet. He could just control himself. He could just behave. But he'd tell me maybe the next day or two, said, Willie, you remember that fella that come in here the other day and what he wanted? Yeah, I remember him very well. Said he made me so mad I could bite nails. But he knew how to control himself. Well, some people can do that. But they're all agitated inside. But God can give you a kind of victory that you can just do that and not be agitated inside. Just feel on the inside like you're acting on the outside. Businessmen do that kind of thing for business reasons. Political men act like that for political reasons. But you and I can feel right. Jesus said in his teaching, the 5th chapter of Matthew, and beginning with about verse 43 maybe, he said, ye have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But if they smite you on the one cheek, turn the other also. And if they sue you at the law and take away your coat, give them your cloak too. And if they compel you to go a mile, go too. Maybe that would begin about verse 38 up there somewhere for that quotation. But anyway, the point is this. It's easier for you and me to bear the cross on our shoulders than it is to carry it in our heart. And it's easier sometimes to act right than it is to feel right and be right. But God has provided you and me with that kind of victory that we can act right and feel right and be right. And men don't have to pat us on the back for us to have the victory. They don't have to praise us for us to have the victory. They can do other things to us, and we'll still have the victory. Abundant living. Let's reach out for that. Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Now, there's not anything very appetizing in any of that, is there? There isn't anything there that we would choose. We would choose to avoid all of those things. Yet we want a decision in our hearts that none of those things, all up and put together, will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now you said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Or Christ? Then all these things he mentioned here, every one of them bad. Listen, folks. Everything doesn't have to be going good for you and me for us to have the victory. God's got victory for us in bad circumstances. When things are going against us, he still has victory for us if we'll just go down and get it. Humble our hearts and let the grace of God flow into our souls to meet the need that we have right now. Now, Paul's answer to this was, nay, but in. That's the key word here, in. All these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right in them. We carry the idea with us of getting out of a thing. And when we get out of a thing, we can shout the victory. But Paul, if he'd have been a man like that, he'd have died without victory. Because he was right in all these things. They were happening to him all the time. He was meeting these kind of situations and conditions. And finally died a martyr's death. His head being severed from his shoulders by the executioner's sword. And if he'd have been a man that had to get out of these things to shout the victory, he'd have never had it. But he learned to triumph right in those things. Had the victory of them going on around him all the time and him involved in them. And the Holy Spirit bore witness to him that every place he went, it is just more of the same. Bonds and afflictions awaited him everywhere he went. But he still had the victory. And he shouted the victory. And rejoiced in the Lord. Now, when God told the children of Israel how to take the city of Jericho, you remember when they crossed the Jordan River, landed over there in the land of Canaan, the very first thing that faced them was a great walled city. And God told them how to take that city. He said, for the priests to go before and bear the ark, and all the people to follow, and they'd march around the city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they'd march around seven times. Then for the priest to blow the ram's horn, and then all the people shout. Well, now they went out there and they started marching. And they marched around one time every day for 6 days, and the wall still standing solid, everything intact, just like they started. But they still had a ways to go yet. God told them on the seventh day, march around seven times. Well, they went around seven times, and the wall still standing. Time to get discouraged now. time to kind of back up now. But no, there was a little more. The priests were to blow the ram's horns, and they did. They blew their blast on the ram's horns, and the walls were still standing, solid, not a crack in those walls. Everything intact, just like they started. Well, then all the people were to shout. Shout for what? The walls are still up. The city hadn't been taken. What are we going to shout about? But God said, shout. And they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. Listen, folks, in these things. I called Floyd Kennedy a while back on the telephone. Floyd Kennedy has a brain tumor. And there's nothing very comforting to have one of them. And his is on the bottom side of his brain. Might be inoperable in there. I don't know. It's pressing against his pituitary gland. Pituitary. Said it had it pressed down about one third of its size. And was also pressing against his optical nerves and messing his vision up, and he was seeing double and couldn't see very good, and so on. And I said, well, Floyd, how are you feeling about all of that? He says, I'm not having any pain and I'm not having any worry. Victory right in it. I'm waiting on the Lord. No worry. Now, that'd be something to worry about, wouldn't it? But he was waiting on the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And he says, I have no worry. That's great. Brother Sis, back there at Enid, Oklahoma, he has a big lump up here on his forehead. And I was there one time when someone remarked about that and asked him something about that, and he just said, that's in the hands of the Lord. He wasn't worrying about it. He had it in the hands of the Lord. Right in it. In all these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. God will enable you and me to overcome everything that could possibly come against us and still have some reserve to go on yet. More than conquerors. Abundant living. Let's don't ever be satisfied just with living. Let's be reaching out for abundant living. And more abundant living yet. In 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and verse 14, he says, thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. The good news for modern man today, you and me, right up to date, right now, in the conditions in which we're living, the good news that I bring you this morning is that we never need take a beating. We can come out on the top side every time and have the victory all the time if we'll just believe for it. This is the victory, even our faith, the Apostle John said. Faith that brings the victory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory, that's what we want. That's what we need. Real victory in our souls. Amen. Power over all the powers of the enemy. That's what our oldest brother left us when he died. Was power over all the powers of the enemy. And power to live an abundant life. We have a text in 2 Corinthians. And I believe it's the 9th chapter. and the eighth verse. And God is able. Folks, let's count God able. Let's count Him in on our problems of life. We hear people say sometimes, I just can't do this, or I can't go through that, or I can't bear this burden. Let's count God in. God is able to back up everything He said. I'm always encouraged with the thought that the same God that wrote the New Testament and set up the standard of living according to New Testament grace is the same God that set up the economy of grace to go along with it. The Word of God says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Jesus brought the truth that lifted the standard of Christian living as high as heaven itself. But that wouldn't have been worth a nickel. Truth isn't worth a nickel without grace. You couldn't do anything with it. So when He brought truth, He brought grace right along with it. Grace to live the truth. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ fits His New Testament doctrines and teachings for our Christian life, just like the glove fits to the fingers on the hand. And if you and I will just walk humbly with our God and trust Him and count Him able and believe in Him to that extent, He has sufficient grace to enable every child He has to measure up to the fullness of the measure of every principle of truth taught in the New Testament. Just live a New Testament life. Have a New Testament experience. Enjoy a New Testament victory. And abundant living through Christ. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace, all kinds of grace. Grace for every need. Grace to take care of every phase and area of our lives. Anything that could happen to us in that area of our lives. All grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency may abound to every good work, being enriched in everything. Now, can you beat that? Can you think of anything fuller and more complete than that? Isn't that abundant living? God is able to enable you, make all grace abound toward you. Now, this word abound is defined as to be in great plenty, to be copiously supplied. Abundance. In the 5th chapter of Romans in verse 17, He said, they that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Grace to reign. Reign over everything that would be a detriment to you in this life. Abundance is defined as an overflowing fullness. Full and running over. You remember David said in the 23rd Psalm, my cup runneth over. That's abundance. Not just full, but overflowing. An overflowing fullness, great plenty. Abundant is overflowing, more than sufficient. We just had the text a few minutes ago, more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us. Now He's talking about a grace, an abundance of grace, and that means more than sufficient. Plentiful. God said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient. More than sufficient. Now, God knows you and me. He knows human nature. He knows how human nature will react to certain things. He made us. He knows what makes us tick.
Yes, he does.
And he figured in all the things that could possibly affect you and me in any kind of a way. He knew how it would affect a person to be at variance with his own household. He said the man's foes will be them, his own house. He knew how that would affect a person. He knew how it would affect a person and how human nature would react to it to be hated of all men. And he said, that's just what will happen to you. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. He knew just how that would affect a person, how human nature would respond to that. And he knew the pull that the world would have on the natural man. He understood all of that. And the attraction of the material things of earth upon the material part of the man. Jesus understood all of that. And he knew how it would affect people to be put in prison when they were innocent of in a crime. That's happened to many. It's happening to many in other parts of the world today. Going right on. People being imprisoned and tortured and beaten and all for no other thing. Only just their faith in Christ and teaching maybe their children about Christ. That's taboo in the Iron Curtain countries to teach children about the Lord. And if parents teach their children the ways of the Lord, they're subject to arrest. These things are going on, and they have gone on all the way down the line. Jesus knew just how that would affect people. And the crushing effect that would have on the individual that underwent those things. But when he supplied his supply of grace, he considered all of these things, struck a balance or a total on them, figured in a good percentage of safety factor over and above that, and provided the economy of grace on that basis. So when the world and the devil have done their worst, you can still stand some more and not break down. More than sufficient. Abundant living. Plentiful. Full, lavish, profuse, abundant, bountiful, rich, overflowing. These are all words given in the dictionary describing abundant. Folks, abundant living. You and I do not need to be groveling around and being whipped and beat by our own frustrations and feeling that I had to do this and I had to do that. We don't need to be in that condition. God has sufficient grace if we'll just go down and get it. Just humble our hearts. God resisteth the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if we'll just humble our hearts and go right on down and get it, God has sufficient grace for you and me to be more than conquerors right in these things. With them still going on. Floyd Kennedy was in the thing when he says, I have no worry. Brother Sis was in the affliction when he says it's in the hands of the Lord. Right in these things. The children of Israel had to shout with the wall still standing. And you and I may have to shout sometimes in the midst of our trial. It's still there.
Yes,
folks, let me tell you something. You can shout some things down that you can't pray down. If you've been praying and praying about something for a long while, maybe, and it hadn't come to pass yet, just start shouting the victory. I teach the people that God is not one that will get something for nothing. You just start praising Him and He'll give you something to praise Him for. You start shouting victory and victory will be on the way. Evelyn tells about when she was real sick with shingles and was in much pain and misery, and Brother and Sister Carver came to help us out during that week. And so it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I called them to come in and pray for Evelyn, and Brother Carver came in and he prayed 2 or 3 times and nothing was happening, and he said, "Start shouting the victory, sister."
Yeah.
Well, she says, "But it hurts." Oh, I said, "Don't pay attention to that. Just start shouting the victory." And Evelyn did, and the pain left. Just shouted it out. You can shout some things down, you can't pray down. Just start declaring your victory through Christ, and He'll give you victory. Shout with the wall still standing and they'll fall. In all these things. Now He said God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always... We had the text a while ago said, "Thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ." That you always, having all sufficiency,
bless the Lord.
Amen. Let us reckon Christ as the all-sufficient Christ, and as we trust in Him, we'll possess all-sufficient grace. Now that word "always" is defined as at all times, ever, continually, invariably, uniformly. Just at all times, a uniform life. You ever heard anybody say, or heard it said about anybody, they're just the same every time you see them? It doesn't matter what their conditions are or what's happening to them, they're just the same. Abundant living. You take a gasoline engine, take a mower for instance, a power mower with a gasoline engine on it. It has a governor in there. And when more power is needed, the governor opens up and lets more fuel go in. And sometimes we mow where the grass isn't even. Sometimes it's thin and then you'll hit a thick spot. Well, when you hit those thick spots, maybe that motor will stutter a little bit, and that governor will open up and throw in some more fuel, and you just go through the thick spots like you did the thin spots. That's the way with God's grace now, able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, and the definition is invariably, uniformly, at all times, always, having all sufficiency, may abound to every good work.
All things, having all sufficiency in all things.
Thank you. All sufficiency in all things. everything. This is some of what our oldest brother left us when he died. Was this kind of a living. The ability to live this kind of living. Abundant living. Abounding in the grace and love of Christ. The ability to meet the difficult things of life and go through them just like we do the smooth things. They're just a governor working right in the heart, the soul of the individual. Maybe we go along and everything's pretty smooth and we're just sailing, we're out there running. And as we run into some rough going. The governor, as we humble our hearts, the governor just opens up in there and pours in some more grace, and we just keep going at the same speed.
Praise the Lord.
Abundant living. Folks, we don't ever have to take a beating. Now, in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask." That's great, isn't it? That's the Christ we serve. All power in heaven and in earth is in his name. Now we can ask a lot of things, can't we? Well, after we ask a lot of things, we can still think of some more. We might get timid about asking. Brother Barton told about one time, he was just asking the Lord for some great things, just a number of big things. Finally, he just realized how much he was asking for and what he was asking for, and he said he just kind of got timid about asking for anything more. Thought he was asking for so much, maybe too much. So he just stopped. The Lord said, "You ask me for everything you want." Waited a little bit and he says, "And I'll give you everything you need." But after we have asked and asked, we can still think of some more, even if we're timid about asking for it. But that isn't the limit. He said he's able to do above all we think or ask. That isn't the top. He said he's able to do abundantly above all we think or ask. And that isn't the top yet. He said he can do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask. Well, that's great, isn't it?
Amen.
That's the Christ we serve. But there's a little string on this, folks. A little attachment to this. And that is according to the power that works in us. Now, God's able to do all of these things, see? But what he actually does is limited by the power that works in us. That's the only limitation on it. All things are possible with God. And he said all things are possible to him the believer. But there's where things begin to break down. Is in our believing for the great needs of our lives, the victories that we need and the deliverances that we seek, believing for those things to overcome them. It's according to the power that works in us. If there is no lack in God's ability to give, it's just a lack in our ability to receive. And what we need is to work at that end of it. The power that works in us is measured by our faith. We have a text in 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 5, it says, kept by the power of God through faith. God has unlimited power, but it requires faith in us to give workability to that power and to appropriate it to our own needs. I run a little scale like this. No faith, no power. Little faith, little power. More faith, more power. Great faith, great power. Unlimited faith, unlimited power. Somebody says you went out of bounds then, talking about unlimited power with us. Well, I don't have time to go on into that now, but I can take the Bible and prove that that's true. That the child of God has access to unlimited power if he can have unlimited faith. Well, the clock's going around there. We will respect it and you. Ask the Lord to bless all of us and help us to be reaching out for more abundant living in Him.